So here we go. Oh, look, it's already 5-2. Okay, how did that happen? Okay, this is the longest youth talk we have on record. I have done this talk probably 8 times. Our Relationship That Honor God series starts and ends with the same talk. This is slight, like I spent all day on it, tweaking it and changing it a little bit, but it's the gist is the same. And this is why we start with Relationships That Honor God, and we go to Genesis, and we talk about what happened there. And I've explained why we do that in that talk, but this is why we do the dating talk at the end always. Is the dating talk is like, okay, so what? We've learned all of this stuff about relationships. Now let's actually start thinking about how it applies to our life specifically. Okay, so that's why we do the dating talk last. I think it's a really important talk. Because even if you're not ready for dating right now, and you think maybe boys have cooties or girls have cooties still, that's fine. But what I would like to do is prepare you before you get to the point where you're thinking about these things. Because let me tell you, that's too late. You need to be thinking about the stuff we've been talking about before you're ready. Long before you're ready. And so it makes me sad that I know a whole bunch of students that aren't coming to youth right now because of the relationship series. It makes me very sad. Because what's going to happen is when those feelings and when those things start, they're not going to be ready for it. They're not going to be prepared. And that's why we do this series. And that's why we do it every 2 years, so that you have an opportunity to think about these things. So this talk is I tweaked it a little bit, but it's still down the line of thinking that we have had in the past. All right, so really quickly, I don't want to go through this lots because you guys have all been here for the talks, right? You've been there for many of those though talks in the past. Okay, but this is maybe newer for you, this critical posture, vital perspective, and essential understanding. Okay, we have to remember these things whenever we're talking about any kind of relationships, especially relationships with the opposite sex. So we have this critical posture. We really want to hear from God. We have this perspective that when we read about what God, the rules and the things that God has in the Bible, they're not just rules to stop us from having fun. They're actually, the rules are there so that we can live life and not become slaves to different things. We'll find that actually out in the text that we're going to read today. And then thirdly, we want this essential understanding. We've got to remember our purpose is to honor God and to love him. I guess that's our purpose. Or enjoy him forever. Like, it's cool because there's this benefit, right? So we obey him because we want to glorify him. We want to honor him. And then it benefits us, which is really cool. God didn't have to make it that way. We actually receive joy from living inside of God's design. Okay, so there's our overview. Okay, so you probably don't have your Bibles, right? I didn't say to pick it up, and that's okay. It's going to be on the screen today. You did? No faith in my leaders, right? You guys know that I have no memory when it comes to these things. They're just going like, well, Chris won't remember. We'll make sure we hand it out. Awesome. See, that's what makes good leaders, right? Yeah, that they remember to hand Bibles out. Oh, I do have faith now. It was my lack of faith before. Okay, enough of those silly jokes. All right, so just before I read this, I want you to know where this dating talk comes from. So I have a daughter here, Naya. She's 14. Sorry to single you out. But before Naya was born, this talk came to be because I thought when I have kids, there's some stuff I want to tell them that I wish I had known because I made lots of mistakes in my dating life. And I want my kids to know the things that I wish I knew. And so this dating talk, that's what it's about. It's about me, before I had kids, dreaming up something, going like, looking at my past, going like, the mistakes that I made, like, what would have helped me? I wish I'd have heard. And so that's where this talk comes from. It comes from this. There's also a part of it that is protective in nature. And you need to understand when I'm talking about the dating talk, I might talk to the girls a little bit more. I want you to know that I have a bit of a double standard and I don't care. Right? I feel more protective for girls, and it's too bad for you if you don't like that. Whether you're a girl or a guy, I do. I have a tender spot for the girls in our youth group, and I want to protect them. And it's just, I think it's a natural thing. And I'm sorry if that seems offensive, but too bad. Because too bad, I care about you. So so you might feel that when things a little bit passionate to me come up, it's lots of it is in response to girls. So, all right, so let's get to it. I want us to be thinking specifically about a few things as we dive into the dating talk, and that's why we're going to go through Romans chapter 6. It's just 6 verses. We're going to go through it quick and just go like, okay, let's remember this stuff before we dive into the so what of the relationship series. All right, here we go. So Romans chapter 6, we'll start in verse 12. Do not let sin control the way you live. Okay, fair enough, right? Yeah, okay. That's a good idea, right? Do not give in to sinful desires. Okay, that's a little tougher, right? Do not let any part of your body, how much of your body? Any part. Okay, that doesn't really exclude anything, does it? Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, okay, so the alternative, so we got that. No, we don't want to do that. What's the alternative? Give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead. Anybody know what that means? Why is he telling you were dead? Right? It's kind of like, what? I was? Spiritually, he's talking spiritually. Like before you get to know Jesus, the Bible says that you're dead in your transgressions, meaning that because your sin hasn't been paid for by Jesus, and you haven't kind of been awoken from that kind of place. And so he's saying when we decide to follow Jesus, we go from death to life. That's what baptism is about, right? Kind of you die to yourself. That's why you go under the water and you rise up out of the water, just like you're right, being raised with Christ. In fact, it says that earlier on in chapter 6. Could have just read that. Okay, let's keep going. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body. How much of your body? Your whole body. As an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. You want to know where this whole essential understanding comes from? Right there. So, sin is no longer your master. That's awesome. For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become a slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death. So we don't want that, right? Because that kind of sucks. Or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God. Once you were slaves of sin, but now you are wholeheartedly obey his teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin and you have become slaves to righteous living. All right, so really quickly, I just want to say a few things about this passage as we go into the dating talk. Number one, I want to repeat, you are not a slave. You are not a slave to our culture. You do not have to live or believe the way the culture wants you to live. Right? You need to know that. You need to understand that. That's what this passage is getting at. We live in a culture that doesn't believe the stuff that I'm going to be talking about. In fact, they push hard against it. You will face ridicule as people will not understand your convictions and beliefs because they do not belong to God. That's the issue. They don't belong to God. They don't care about honoring God. And their values and their way of thinking, their worldview is completely different. And so people are going to make fun of you for this. I remember it was tough at college. I had some of these convictions and people were looking at me like, are you kidding me? Like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard when it came to sexuality, right? Honoring God with your body is not going to be easy. There will be constant pressure for you to compromise. It's going to be constant. You may not be feeling it right now, but at some point, as your body develops, your mind develops, everything develops, towards God's design, remember, he's designed it this way, there's going to be lots and lots of pressure to compromise your beliefs and what you stand on. Because remember, that's why we have the middle talk where it says, where we talked about Satan and who he is, where he came from and what he does. The Bible calls him a liar, calls him a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, because he wants to devour you. He wants to kill you. He doesn't want you to live and flourish in the design that God's given us. And finally, the difficult part, so we can accept this, right? You probably, for those of you in high school, probably already felt this, the constant pressure. The difficult part is that you want to belong, right? You want to fit in. That's the hard part. And here's kind of where the rub comes. You don't belong to the culture, and so you're not going to belong. As much as you want to fit in at school or with some of the things that are going on or some of the people at school, you're not going to fit into everything. And the reason is because you belong to Jesus. You don't belong to our culture. All right? All right. So there you go. That's Romans chapter 6. All right, so here's the plan. We're going to go through some of the questions around dating. Questions like, who should I date? When should I date? We're going to talk about some of the wrong questions that are asked. And we're going to talk about some of the right questions, the questions you need to be asking. We're going to talk about what to watch out for, so kind of a warning for certain people. They're not looking out for your good, right? Certain people are predators, and so we need to watch out for those kinds of people. So we're going to do some watch out stuff, and then we're going to do for specifically for girls and specifically for guys, and they're similar, but they're a little bit different, what to look for. So for girls, we're going to go what to look for in a guy, and for guys, we're going to go what to look for in a girl. Finally, we're going to land on when is it okay to start dating? Like, when is there an age? Is there a time? Like, what does that look like? Okay? And for some of you, you already are dating or have dated, and so, yeah, but that's okay. This still applies to you. Okay, so we're going to start off with, what are the wrong questions? And here's how we know these are the wrong questions, because the motive of these questions is how to honor yourself, how to gratify yourself, how to glorify yourself, I guess, in some way. Okay? So here's some of these questions. How far is too far? Or how far can I go? Or maybe better is, so you asking the person you're interested, how far will you go? Okay? Okay, these are questions in how to honor yourself. These are not questions in how to honor God. Okay? So this works against you. And so these are the wrong questions. Now, should you ever ask these questions? Yes. But the reason it's the wrong question is because you don't start with these questions. Okay? You need to follow up with these questions. But so we're going to do the wrong questions first, and then we're going to do the right questions. All right? So how far? These are the wrong questions, because the natural tendency in your heart and my heart is bent towards how much can I get away with and still be okay. Ultimately, what that means is still be okay with God. So how much can I get away with and be okay, right? You guys feel it? I mean, I've lived my whole life with that pressure, thinking, how much can I get away with, right? But that's not how we honor God. And so the intent of how far is too far, 99% of the time, is this. It's this tendency, and what can I get away with? What can I do and still have God be okay with me? All right. You know what? I have to do this a little bit different than I have her down here. Okay, so here's what you have to do. I have to combine this a little bit. How far is too far is a question you ask only after you've asked the main question, which is, does this honor God? Whatever you're doing. Does whatever you're thinking about honor God? Okay? When you're thinking about how far should we go, you're thinking about what pleases Jesus. Okay? That's the first question always. It's never the last question, because if it's the last question, you've gone like, it's too late. oh darn. probably worse words than that, but anyway. Okay, so that's the first, that's the wrong question. It's the wrong question because it's usually asked first with the wrong motive. Okay, it's not a bad question. It's the motivation that we ask it with. Okay, second question is, how can I make my boyfriend or girlfriend happy? Now that's an interesting one, right? Like, isn't that a good question? Same thing. This question by itself leads to big problems. The big problem is compromise. Because if you're leading with this, how do I make my girlfriend or boyfriend happy? You're going to compromise something in order to do it. The first goal is not to make the other person happy, but to make God happy. That's the goal. You want God to be pleased with your relationship with this other person. And so that is number one. So if it pleases God, then if it pleases the other person, great. If it doesn't please God, but it pleases the other person, no, not great. See what I mean? So it's not the wrong question. It's only the wrong question when it's asked in the wrong order with the wrong motive. Okay, next one. How can I make my boyfriend or girlfriend love me? Now, I don't think there is ever a good time to... This is just not a good question through and through. Okay, you can't make somebody love you. If you're in a relationship where someone's using you and you're trying to get them to love you, it's just not going to happen. They're getting what they want. And yeah, so part of this talk is to go, like, don't fall into this. Okay, the other side of this is, how can I keep them from leaving me, right? That's usually the question that's right next. And that one's a tough question. Okay, so this is a trap, you guys. Your first love has to be Jesus. All other loves come after him. See, what these questions do, they expose the insecurity in your heart and your misplaced identity. So you're placing your identity, your value, with the fact that you're with this person who's using you and devaluing you. Can you see the problem there? You are not going to gain value, are you? What's going to happen? Devalue. It's going to go the opposite way you want it to go. And the more you are desperate to make sure this person doesn't leave you or make sure this person loves you, the more you devalue yourself. And I've dealt with lots of kids coming out of this kind of relationship, and it is brutal. Because when the relationship does end, they're just completely devastated. Usually spin into depression. All right. The priority for you is to be with someone who cares about you, not what you can do for them or how you or what they can get from you. Right? Okay, so let's go to the right questions. So okay, so if that's not if those are the wrong questions, then what's the right questions? Of course, we've already talked about this. Does it honor God is the question of questions. It is always the question that precedes any other question. Okay, so the wrong questions with the right motive and following this question are okay. But out of order with the wrong motives, they are the wrong questions. Okay, so what's the right questions? How is my relationship with Jesus? You're like, what? Yeah, that's a question you need to ask. If you're thinking of dating somebody, what honors God, first of all, is that your relationship with him is the priority and that you are pursuing him. Okay, so it's the first indicator of whether you're ready. Because here's the deal. Jesus is the connection we need in order to love someone the way that we're designed to be loved. You guys realize that? To really, truly love somebody in the way that God has designed, we need God to help us. So I've prayed multiple times. So I'll go away from the guy-girl relationship. I'll go to my newest son, Titus. One of the things I started praying for early on was that, you know, God would just help me love this little boy, just because he was just amazing when we got him. But it was really difficult for me as a dad. It was really, really hard. And so, but what God taught me through that whole situation was that I felt like God wanted me to stop asking him to help me to love Titus. And this is the shift. I really think this is from God. I felt like God was saying, no, I don't want you to pray that. I want you to pray that that God's love would flow through me to Titus. And so I did that. And it was incredible. The change was amazing. In fact, after that, I started praying that for all my kids. Because I'm like, whoa, this is like revolutionary. If God can love my kids through me, that is even way, that's so much better than me trying to love them. It was so cool. Like I don't know if our kids noticed the difference, but I sure did, especially when it came to Titus. I was like, oh, I just felt it. I prayed that every day for a long time because I wanted God's love to flow through me into Titus. So I think it's a good illustration that this can happen with a spouse too, someone you're planning to marry or are going to marry or whatever that you're dating, that you want God's love to flow through you because God's love is pure and holy and awesome and righteous and the best love ever. Okay, Next question is, who do you believe knows best about sex and dating? It, the wrong answer to that is you, because you don't, believe me. The right answer is not like somebody who's studied sex and some kind of, you know, sex therapist or whatever. That person also doesn't know the most about sex. Who does? Well, obviously the person who made it, designed it. God made sex the way it is. And that's kind of mind-blowing. Like, he designed it. He set it all up. It's pretty cool. That it belongs to God. So, again, the question following that question was, well, who do you belong to? Do you belong to culture? Do you belong to God? Who do you want to be like? I mean, do you want to be like Jesus, or do you want to be like, I don't know, you fill in the blank. Okay, those are questions that are going to expose where your priorities are. All right, probably one of the biggest questions following does it honor God is, what does God want? This is the question that's never asked. I shouldn't say never because we're asking it right now. Hardly ever asked, okay? We rarely think of this question. What does God want? Because God wants what's best for us, doesn't he? Isn't that what we find in the Bible? Like the whole story of Jesus going to the cross, like he didn't have to do that. This is an incredible story. That God would suffer and give himself for us so that we could have life in him, that our sins could be forgiven, is just amazing. What an incredible story. And so what does God want? Well, if you're worried that God doesn't want the best for you, just think of that story. I mean, where do you go from there? Someone who's willing to suffer and die for you in undescribable pain and suffering. That's pretty amazing. So God has given us guidelines in the Bible, and that's why, again, we're doing this. That's why we've done this relationship series that he wants us to follow. That's what he wants. And here's one of the big questions you can ask yourself. Is your relationship with this other person drawing you closer to God or pushing you further away from him? That's a big question. So one of the, when I started dating Jamie, who is my wife right now, one of the things that happened, to my surprise, I didn't know this could happen, is that I got really serious about following Jesus. Like, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, usually my experience and with other people was just like, they got totally enamored with this person and kind of, yeah, their relationship with God got kind of set aside. But this didn't happen with my wife. Like, it was just, was one of the kind of the indicators that, oh, this is maybe something that's good, right? There's something to this relationship, because, man, I wanted to be a man of God, and I definitely wasn't at the time, and I'm just like, I need to get in my Bible, and it inspired me to read, it inspired me to pray more, and so I started drawing closer to God simply because I started dating my wife, and it was just like, whoa. So that, guys, that actually can happen. And I think it's one of the indicators that this is the right person. In fact, I had a former student in the summer tell me that when he got engaged to his fiance, that he said, hey, this played a huge role because this is what happened to me too. So just so you know, and this is for a kid from a long time ago. And I'm like, what? You remember that? He's like, yes. He said it really stuck out. So I'm like, oh, well, I got to keep that in. It actually can draw you closer to God. That's one of the indicators that this is a good and right relationship. How do I make sure that God is always number one in my life? That is one of the questions you need to be asking yourself, especially in a relationship, because just because it starts, like I said, doesn't mean it keeps going that way. It takes some intention. So part of it is making sure that your temple, which is the temple, it's your body, right? Jesus lives, the Holy Spirit lives within you, which makes you his temple. It's kind of crazy. It's dedicated to him. There's no other gods are allowed in that temple. And there's lots and lots of things trying to pull you away from Jesus being the priority. Okay, but that's for another talk. We can't go very far into that. All right. Okay, so there's the wrong questions and the right questions. Now, dating. This is one of the things you guys need to understand is there's a warning here. So in the past few years, one of the things that I've been involved in is called our National Youth Team. So I'm the national youth network, it's called. And so I'm the representative from our province, from Alberta, from all the youth pastors in Alberta on this team. And we have been talking about a lot of things, but one of the things that we went through was this whole idea of trafficking and what's happening in Canada. It's crazy. And what to watch out for when it comes to predators. And so we heard testimony from a dude who was one of these guys and said, you don't unbelieve how easy it is to, within 2 weeks, have a girl who would never, ever have thought of prostitution or sold her body, selling her body. 2 weeks. And they went through the whole thing and what they did. I'm like, are you kidding me? And the type of girls that they're looking for. And it's just like, oh my goodness. They just know when to spot that right person that's just going to fall for them, that's so desperate to be loved that they'll take anything. And so they shower them with love and affection. They buy them things. And this, within 2 weeks, he says, it's pretty rare that's more. This girl is completely fallen and will do anything for this guy. That's one of the trafficking methods. I was just like shocked. But what it does is it exposes some of the insecurities, some of the things that are in us when you desire a relationship more with another person, more than God, more than Jesus. As a Christian, you are still vulnerable to that if you have decided that Jesus isn't a priority in your life. You're in the same camp as everyone else, right? That's kind of scary. And so here's not all these are just trafficking things, but this is kind of what's inspired this section a little bit lately. So here's this. Watch out for the person who only wants your body parts and not the rest of you. Okay? So this is the predator, this is the player, this is the person that's just out for a fun time and they're going to leave you in the dust. Okay? So here's some of the things that people will say to take advantage of you. Some of you may have already experienced this. And so I want you guys, this is really important to remember. If you guys want some of these notes, all this stuff is available. If you want the PowerPoints, you can have them. What I really want is to help you guys. And so the first, I would say probably the most dangerous and the most said of people who are looking to take advantage of you is if you really loved me, you would fill in the blank. This is one of the most manipulative and selfish statements out there. It's meant to guilt you. It's tugging on your guilt strings, and we respond to guilt. We really do. And it's to guilt you into doing something that you would never have considered. In fact, you probably told the person no a number of times until they pulled this one. And suddenly, now you're the bad guy because you're the one messing with love, right? This is awful. This is, like, I hate this one the most. Because this is what predators do, you guys. This is what players and predators do, but mostly a player who is a predator is doing this. Because this is emotional abuse, is what it is. It's somebody manipulating you so that they could take advantage of your body. It's emotional abuse. Healthy relationships are about serving each other, not taking advantage of another person. So if you're in a relationship, this is something I think God just hates this. That's why I've included it. I think he hates all of them, but I think God really hates this. So what do you do if you're in a relationship where somebody has said this to you? Well, you dump them immediately. You can't ignore this warning. It is a warning sign. You have to do something about this. This person is a predator. Okay, and you might be thinking, oh, but he's this or she's that. No, don't be deceived. They are using you. All right, second thing. Things people say that who want to take advantage of you, other couples are doing it. So they're using the excuse that since other people are sinning, you should sin too, right? Which is kind of ridiculous when you think of it that way. It's like, what? That's dumb. But here's the thing. You are not other couples because if you're a Christian, you belong to God. So if it's another Christian couple that's saying these things, I'm questioning whether they're really Christian couples or are they just people who have religion and go to church. There's a big difference, by the way. Okay, so you need to remember, you belong to God, not to someone else. If they want to destroy themselves, that's up to them. I hate it that they're doing that. because they're just falling right into the enemy's trap. And this is where I kind of go dad on everybody. Other couples have been known to rob banks and kill people. So should you do that too? Does that sound like your dad, your parents? Yeah? Okay. If someone else jumped off a cliff, would you jump too? Have you used that one? Okay. Sorry. I applied parent logic there. Sorry if that offended you. What's that? Ah, yes, with a parachute. It's different. Okay, here's another one that I really, really dislike, and I've actually had somebody, like, in my office, like, defending this like crazy, and I'm like, dude, what is wrong with you? he left. I don't remember the kind of the end, but it couldn't have gone well, because this is really offensive when you really break it down. So this is specifically talking about having sex. Because when you're dating. And so this is one of the things that actually has been said to me. You wouldn't buy a car without test driving it first, would you? Right? So they're talking about the fact that why would you consider even having a future with somebody or marrying somebody if you didn't test drive them? Right? I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? You know how offensive that is? You know how this is crazy? First of all, you can't compare a person with a car. Because here's what you have to do. Car value here, person value up here. You have to overvalue the car and undervalue the person to bring them on the same level for this, right? And usually this is a guy talking, so let me use the guy talk. This is a guy saying he wants to have sex with you before marriage just to see if you're compatible. Like, that's just the hugest lie ever. It's so stupid, right? It's one of those things that is just kind of, don't fall for that. Okay, people, because here's where this breaks down. People trade in their cars when they get tired of them and get a new one. And where do the used cars go? Well, they go to a used car lot. And how about the value of used cars? Unless it's like a vintage car, which I'm not talking about. This is a new car that's a couple of years old. What's happened to it? It's used. It's devalued, right? So if you want to follow this line of thinking, you're willing to devalue that person and just for a time before you go to the real person that you want to be with. Come on, seriously? Like, how awful is that? I another thing I just think God hates. You got to remember, these are God's daughters we're dealing with. And I just think that just makes God really upset. I don't want to be that dude standing before God and going like, "Well, I thought she was like a car." Like, I just don't think that's gonna help. I think it's gonna make it worse. What? You thought my daughter was a car? Are you kidding me? I do not want to be there when that happens. Okay, you guys get my drift. I don't have to go any further with that. It's a very silly argument because people and cars, you can't compare. Car is just a piece of metal. Like, who cares if it devalues over time? People don't. But if you abuse them, they feel devalued, right? All right. Here's the next one. It's just a little past our boundaries. So this is kind of a push to go past the boundaries that you've made. Okay, so just really quickly, honoring God means you honor each other, which means you also honor the boundaries that you set up together and probably either with your parents or with somebody else that you trust that you made these boundaries. So one of the things you need to be is accountable to other people, right? We talked about how powerful our sexuality is, especially as you grow older. It's going to invade your body big time, right? And so you need to have those boundaries, but you also need to have someone who's going to help you honor each other because if you're just trusting that you're somehow strong enough, you've already lost the battle because you're trusting in yourself instead of Jesus. Because if you were trusting Jesus, you would bring somebody in for accountability. Okay. And here's the thing, guys. This is not always the case. Again, this goes either way. Guys are not on offense and girls are not in defense. Okay, this is, 80% of the time this is what's happening. But it's not always, right? Sometimes the girls are on offense and the guys got to say no. Right? But it's less rare, but it happens. Okay, there's not someone playing offense and there's not someone playing defense. It's not the way it works. And finally, Let's be friends with benefits. Okay, if someone's asking you this, someone's looking to, again, it's kind of like the car thing. They want to use you till they find someone better. That's what that's about. So I'm waiting for the right person. In the meantime, I just want to use your body and use you so that I can find that better person. That's what that is, by the way. Don't fall for that. And that's like, I don't know if that's 50-50 with guys and girls, but it's both guys and girls are falling into this like crazy. This person doesn't care about you at all. I mean, it's obvious. This person's waiting for the better person to come along. You're just kind of the one that she's gonna use until that person comes along. Okay. So these are the things to watch out for. Here's the thing, you guys. Here's this statement. You got to be ready for the temptation. Temptation is going to come. And as much as you're sitting there thinking, oh, yeah, I wouldn't fall for these, when you get into that situation and your heart really starts to fall for somebody and they start pulling this stuff, I'm telling you, it is difficult. It's why we're going to do what we're going to do at the end of this talk, is go through a list of priorities and preferences. So here's the thing with temptation. It comes when you're least expecting it. Not when you're geared up and ready for the temptation. You're ready for it. That's not when it comes. Enemy is smart. He waits till your defenses are down. So sometimes that means you're tired. Sometimes it means you're alone. Sometimes probably all those things, isolated. And then that's when temptation comes, and it comes hard. So here's what you need to do. You need to learn to recognize unhealthy environments, both for your relationship with God and for your relationship with this other person. Okay, and unfortunately, the unhealthy environments, it's usually the hard way we find out about those things. Okay, so we need to keep moving. So what to look for in a person you want to date? First, just before we get into this, I want to talk about priorities and preferences. Okay, so one of the things that I think is really important for us is to have some non-negotiables. You guys know what a non-negotiable is? Yeah, it means that it's not going to change, ever. Okay, so I think it's really important for us, and this is actually the project we're going to have in our small groups today, is you're going to make a list of priorities and preferences. So priorities are the things you cannot compromise on. So you have to be careful what you put in this category. Okay, these are the non-negotiables. These are the things that you cannot compromise. Okay, so we went to a session at LYC a couple years ago, and the guy was actually doing this. And so I'm like, oh, cool, someone else is doing this. But one of the things he said was one of his non-negotiables was that the person was athletic. I was like, what? Like, what happens if you fall for somebody who's not athletic? Right? And he was just adamant that, you know, this is what I prayed for. And I'm just kind of like, dude, that so rarely happens. Like, but he's saying these things. And all I'm thinking of is like, well, okay, that happened for you. But for most people, it's not. And this is why this is dangerous. Putting something that's actually a preference in the priorities, the danger is that when that thing is tested, of course you're going to compromise. It's a preference. So if he'd have fallen for this gorgeous babe that was not athletic at all, but that was different than him, which is like what happened to me, right? My wife is completely different than me in every way, opposite, right? He would have had to say, okay, I have to compromise on one of my priorities. So what makes you think that you won't compromise on the rest of them? So what I'm getting at is it's so important for you guys to think about these things now, long before you get into a relationship, and to separate what is absolutely non-negotiable and what is negotiable, right? So what is really a preference and what we've called priority preference. Okay, so there's going to be two categories, and you're going to find out more in your small group. Okay, so here's the deal. You can't help who you're attracted to, but you are responsible for how you respond. Okay? So that's why, you know, we've had this talk when it comes to same-sex attraction and all this kind of stuff. We don't control attraction. You can't help but who you're attracted to, but you can and are expected and are responsible for how you respond to that attraction. All right, so here we'll start off with the girls. What are you looking for in a guy? The right guy. So guys, perk up because this is the kind of guy you might want to be. All right, girls. First of all, the right guy, this statement, image is nothing, or at least very little. Character is everything. And you just look. So look at some of the crazy relationships out there with beautiful women and really ugly guys. Okay? I'm just going to use this for an example. So you have, I think it was Julia Roberts married Lyle Levitz. Seriously? The ugliest dude ever. And I'm like, Julia Roberts? And everyone's like, what does she see in him? Right? It's because, you know, girls are usually attracted to different things, right? Okay, she wasn't attracted to his image. And so I was just like, well, yeah, there you go. That's right. If women were like guys, we'd be in really real trouble because there's I got to tell you guys, and I'm part of the bunch, there's just not that many good-looking guys in the world. They're not good-looking. Just let me tell you. God created women with something special. There's beauty. There's something going on. Because if you look in the animal kingdom, it's usually the males that are beautiful, right? Just think about it. Like birds, it's the males. Like lions, it's the males. Like all of these different, in the animal kingdoms, it's the opposite. But with humans, it's women, right? God gave 98% of the beauty to them. And there's like 2% of men are beautiful. That's it. I'm telling you. And you're laughing because you know it's true, right? So sorry, boys, if you just think you're really handsome. Probably not. yeah. It's one of those truths that are, what, you want to be, who wants to be good looking? Right? It's, okay, you probably have Zoolander, right? That's very funny. It's like, guys think they're good looking, but they're just not. Okay. Totally off track. Okay, that was not part of my talk. Number one. Okay, the right guy. Number one, I think the most important. So I'm going to give you a list, some of the priorities that I think are priorities, but you need to sort through them for yourself. I think this one's a non-negotiable, and I'll tell you why. The first one is, does he love Jesus? Okay, I don't mean, is he a Christian? Okay, because lots of people say they're Christians, but whether they are or not remains to be seen on their character. Okay? So the question is, does he love Jesus? I know it's really tough to start off with, but before, girl, I'm talking to girls, right? We're looking for the right guy. Before you give your heart to somebody, you need to discover as much as you can about this person's character, because you have to remember that any boy that is pursuing you or trying to date you is on the best behavior he will ever be in his entire life. And if it's not that good then, run. This guy is not good. Yeah, Wyatt. What? If you convert them? Well, we'll get to that. Okay? That's a good question. So remember, first of all, does he love Jesus? Remember, and we'll get to the girls in a minute. Don't worry, that one's on there too. Remember, you belong to Jesus. Since Jesus is your highest priority, the person you date needs to have Jesus as their highest priority as well. Here's the thing, you guys. If your values are not the same, someone must compromise. There is not, oh, we'll just live according to our own values, because your values are in conflict. Think about this for a second. Why are we talking about worrying about the world, the things in the world, chasing after the world instead of chasing after Jesus? That is the conflict. The person who doesn't love Jesus doesn't care about Jesus. Does not care about honoring God, doesn't care about those values. This is why this is a very difficult situation to put yourself in. This is why this is the number one for me, is that this person needs to follow Jesus, because everything that follows in the end is less important. Okay, so I'm just thinking of my wife and I. So the one thing that she knew about me, because I made lots of mistakes with her, is that I love Jesus. And she saw that. And that's it. Like, there's nothing else that really matters in the end. And when you love Jesus deeply, you will understand that that is the highest priority of all. Because it is putting yourself in a very, very dangerous position to decide to date somebody who doesn't have the same value system as you. I guarantee you, you will compromise. Okay? So here's the deal. Dating someone who doesn't love Jesus or want to honor him is the number one reason that students walk away from their faith, in my experience. And this is where I answer Wyatt's question. It's the number one reason, because everyone thinks that they're the exception. Because I know a handful of people who dated who weren't Christians, and one of them became a Christian. I do. I know a handful of them. But most of them, that didn't happen. In fact, one of the reasons why I'm just kind of like, don't do it, is because I'm just throwing this stat out of the air. 99% of the time, you compromise, not them. And I've seen it over and over again. It breaks my heart, because doesn't just end with a compromise. It ends with the student walking away from their faith. And I've even had youth leaders do this, you guys. A number of them, not just one or two. Well, two specifically I can think of right off the top of my head, who have, when I contacted them to see how they were doing a couple years later, they weren't even following Jesus. I'm like, what? And these people were like solid, I would say solid Christians. But they got lured away into a relationship, started asking all these other questions. And then in the end, because they were asking the wrong questions with the wrong motives, they weren't looking to honor God. They compromised and eventually actually walked away from their faith. Even these people I thought were like solid Christians. That is hard for me to swallow. And that's why this is the number one, is this is what normally happens. But here's the thing, and each one of you is thinking it, that you're the exception. We all think it. That's why we fall into these things. That's why I do this dating talk, and then like 1% of the people actually follow it. Because 99% of you think that you're the exception, and it's the opposite. It's only the 1%. Like, chances are you're not it. Like, really good chance. All right. So this is where the whole thing, it's not just, he doesn't have to just say he's a Christian. There needs to be evidence that this person is following Jesus and is dedicated to becoming more like Jesus. Okay, so I think this is it. This is the number one reason. This is the most important thing. It was the top priority when I met Jamie. I wanted to find a girl who loved God. It was the most attractive. Like, I think my wife is super attractive physically, but the most important, I was attracted to her spirituality. She loved God so much. I thought, this is the most amazing thing. And that's what inspired me. I want to be a better man of God. I want to pursue Jesus more in my life because she loved God and it was really attractive to me. Okay, so that's I spent more time on that one than I needed to, but I think it's the most important. The second most important thing is the question, does he honor you? Okay, a guy who will want to honor himself rather than you is not a good guy. See, a guy who's willing to honor you is willing to enter into your world. The guy who isn't willing to honor you is going to isolate you. He wants to take you out of your safe zone. He wants to take you away from your family, away from your friends. He wants to pull you out and bring you into his world. Into it, not just his world where with his buddies and stuff, but actually isolate you. He wants to take you away from those things. If somebody's doing that, he's not the guy you want to be with. Okay, you want a guy that enters into your world, who wants to meet your parents, who, like, this is one of the things, he wants to honor you. He's the one that's initiating, going like, we need to set up some boundaries. Like, that's a guy who's looking to honor you. And the other thing is, he's also going like, and we're going to tell our parents, and we're going to tell these people that if we fall, it's going to be really embarrassing. We want these people to help us be accountable. Okay, that's the kind of guy that's looking to honor you. So he doesn't take you away from the people you love and where your protection is. He doesn't isolate you. He doesn't want to disconnect you. He wants you to stay connected to your world. So here's some of the other questions. Is he considerate? Is he gentle? Remember, he's on his best behavior ever. He will never behave better than this. Right? So that some people think, well, everything changes in marriage. Not true. Everything doesn't. But a few things do, right? And suddenly that person is definitely not on their best behavior anymore. Okay? Anyway, let's keep going. And lastly, does he make you feel valuable? I'm not saying, are you getting your value from him? Because then it's skewed. You need to get your value from Jesus. But does he make you feel worthy? And valuable. Like, does the way he treats you and honors you make you feel, yeah, like, I feel like I'm valuable. Not because I'm valuable to him, but because I'm valuable to Jesus, that I'm made in the image of God, and he's conveying that. That's the type of person that honors you. Men, guys, that's the kind of guy you want to be. Okay, thirdly, are you attracted to the whole person? Okay, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, these are all ways we can be attracted to somebody. But being attracted to a person because of a single attribute or strength, or even a couple, it's not enough. It's not good enough. Because at some point, the attraction has to also be to their character. So I've actually had a student sitting in my office defending a guy who was way older than her. She's in high school and he is in his 20s, who's in jail. And she's telling me that he's a good person. I ain't kidding you. This is how deceived we get when we're trying to defend someone that doesn't have good character. So open your eyes. That's why you should not be isolated from the people who love God and love you, because they will speak truth into your life if you allow it. I think, Kareen, were you in there? Isn't that crazy? And that's not just once, by the way. This is just an isolated case. Yeah, we've had more than one, which is nuts. In fact, we had one in that office, too. That's right. I'm thinking of the other one over in my office. It's like, seriously, you guys, that's crazy. And yet, they were so like, no, he's such a good person. He's in jail. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, sorry. Let's just so you know how, and you're just like, well, I would never do that. Well, yeah, you could. The last person you want to be is the person who says, that'll never happen to me. Because those are the people it happens to. Because they're not protecting themselves. They're not guarding themselves. You're just actually arrogant, thinking that somehow you're above that. You're not. Your heart is desperately wicked like everyone else. Same as me. Sorry to bring you back down to earth. Okay. Is there a possible future with this person? Is the next question. I don't think you should date somebody without this. And where do I get this? Well, would he be a good... Oh, sorry. Where do you get this is coming. Would he be a good dad? Some of the questions you want to ask. And that's what I mean. Future. Do you want your boys to be like him? Does he like kids? Right? I mean, you're thinking family, you're thinking, like, this is dating relationships, by the way, guy, girl, family, this is God's design. It's not just for our enjoyment. This is part of the talk I cut out because I didn't have time to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway now, our shortened version, is that the whole idea of dating is very, very modern for millennia. Thousands and thousands of years, men and women were never allowed to be alone together because the ancient people knew something that we don't, that because we're stupid and they're smart. they knew the power of their sexuality. And we, even though we know it, deny it. So stupid. And so we'll date, we'll take people out, and we'll just be alone. We're so easy to pick off for Satan. It's just ridiculous. Because we think we're so strong, or we think, oh, because we have Jesus, that somehow we're immune to all of the pitfalls of our sexuality, and it's just garbage. It's just stupidity, and the ancient peoples for thousands of years knew what we don't because we're dumb. We are. And I fell into it too. So this is, again, remember, this is coming from my experience. I wish someone had told me this. Okay? So is the question, is he looking to rent you out, right, for a couple of years? Again, back to the car thing, but has no intentions of dating you. Why are you dating if there's no future in this? Why are you dating? You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, I'm practicing relationships. That is not how you practice doing a relationship. That's how you get baggage to hurt your next relationship, okay? I do lots of premarital counseling. Half of it is undoing the baggage from other relationships because they destroy you. They, especially when they break up, those relationships take part of you with them. But again, we just don't get this because somehow we're so smart in our sorry, I'm being really sarcastic, but our culture is just, does not deal with reality very well. All right, let's go to the next one. So future, and I'll actually fill that one in a little bit in a couple minutes here. Lastly, is he a one-woman man? Okay, does he look at porn? Does he ogle every girl that walks by? Does he flirt with all the girls behind your back or in front of you? Or? Ogle, yeah, it's a good one. And then, yeah, ogle is awesome because there's no other definition but ogle. Looking at them, yeah, ogling them. Just think of the word and you really know what it means, right? Ogle. It's like, oh yeah, it's not good. The action and motivation and everything. That was a beautiful word, right? All right, sorry. But yeah, so that's the questions you need to ask. Is this guy, like, is he for me or is he just, you know, is he just for female anatomy, right? Okay. All right, boys, just so you know, again, those are things. So those are mine. Those are my top five. For me, those are non-negotiable. But for you, you've got to decide those things. And there's biblical evidence for all of these things. This is already a really long talk. So we need to move on. Okay, girls, are you good? Is that helpful? Somewhat? Like, I can't remember that stuff. It's okay. You can get the notes anytime you want. And you might want them in when you're in grade 11, if you're in grade 7. So, So here we go. What do we look for in a girl? Again, image is nothing. Character, everything. Okay, that's from Sprite, right? Image is nothing. Taste is everything. So it's just a play on words. But it's not nothing, right? Image is really important. It's an old commercial. Yeah, that's true. Thanks for pointing that out, Faith. All right, let's keep going. Okay, number one, loves Jesus. Same thing. Same answer as the guys. I think this is for both sides. This is important. This is the number one deal. This person needs to love Jesus. Because you want your relationship to honor God. And, you know, evangelistic dating, this is what it is. Using sex appeal for evangelism doesn't work very well. Never has. Because you know the odd couple that have done it doesn't put you in the exception. Ah, I already went there. Sorry, it just bothers me. Everyone thinks they're anyway. Sorry, I already said that. Number two, modest dresser. Okay, guys, I think this is important. Here's why. Because if she loves attention, she loves attention from everyone, not just you. So she may say, I'm wearing this for you, but if she's wearing it in public, it's not just for you, right? She wants the attention of the other boys and maybe the other girls. I actually read an article on this where a lot of women dress, they're not even thinking of the guys, they're thinking of the other women that are competing with them. So they're thinking they need to show their assets more, right? All right, so here's the deal. Immodesty is an indication of deeper problems, of other things that are going on, where they're not finding their value in Jesus. Okay, you want to look at our culture and why immodesty seems, they scoff at the idea of modesty? Well, it's because they're not looking to honor God. They don't want to honor God with their body. They're looking to get value from the attention that they can gain. We don't, as Christians, that's not where we're finding our value. Okay, Proverbs 7, Proverbs 5, or no, I don't know about 5, but 7 for sure is watch out for the seducer, watch out for the woman that calls the boy the fool who's walking down. He's just being dumb read it. It calls him stupid. It actually says it. In Proverbs 7, calls the guy that's walking towards the seductive woman and allowing her to, calls him stupid. Watch out for the stupid, simple person because he's going to walk into the trap. Okay, so You're looking for someone who's a modest dresser. She doesn't have to dress like a nun or wear a burqa or anything like that. But just, you know, you can still dress really nice and be modest, right? Okay, thirdly, same as the boys, are you attracted to the whole person? Does she love God? Does she have good character? Looks, guys, as far, it's not going to go that far for you. I think if you're just attracted to the person's look and not their character, it's going to get old real fast. Fourth, is there a possible future with this girl? If there's not, again, this is why character, if you're going to spend your life with somebody, character matters, right? You have to live with this person. Eventually, you're going to stop thinking, especially if you're not attracted to their character, you're going to stop thinking, you're going to stop being attracted to their physical features as well. Just so you know. Like, that's how important character is. And I know it's not the first attraction, right? Or pretty rare anyway. We're attracted by what we see. All right, but it's the same argument as the girls, the reason that it's there. Finally, guys, is she a one-woman man? Is she using you for status, right? She wants to gain value from dating you. Does she flirt with other guys? Is that her deal? Maybe behind your back, maybe in front of you, maybe both, right? Same thing. She needs to be a one-man, sorry, one-woman man. She needs to be a one-man woman. Sorry, I got that backwards, didn't I? So funny, you jerks. Okay, this is our last slide, and as promised, this talk has been 1 hour. So, when is it okay to start dating? Okay, this is the big question, right? We have all this information. Okay, so when are you ready? Well, here's the thing in Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon is a love story between a man and his wife, and one of the pleas from the woman is to not awaken love before it's time. This is one of the, I think, the most fabulous things about Song of Solomon, besides the celebration of marriage and sex in marriage, that's part of what this is this plea, don't awaken love before it's time. Why? Because it hurts us. Because it leads you down a path you don't want to go down, and it leaves you devastated and you have to pick up the pieces. Whether you're a Christian or not, this is the plea from the Song of Solomon. And it's ultimately, because it's in the Bible, it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, which means this is the plea from God. Don't awaken love before it's time. Okay, so we're asking the right question. What honors God? Okay, so the question, next question. Okay, so when is that time? That's what we're answering. First of all, when you don't need to date. Number one. Okay, for some of you who are maybe younger, going like, oh yeah, that's me. Oh no, I'm ready to date. No, I mean, if you have this desperate need to be with somebody, that is what's happening, is it's exposing that that you are getting your value from the wrong place. Okay, and so if you're just desperate, you need this, you need to have a boy or a girl in your life, then you're not ready to date. Don't date. You need to get things, you need to get your value from Jesus, and don't date until you do. Secondly, if you don't understand what we just talked about, you're not ready to date. So there, you're off the hook now for those people who are like, yeah, I don't care about dating. Oh, okay, good. Thirdly, if you feel that this talk didn't apply to you, you are not ready to date. Seriously, you're not ready to date because you're going to fall into something. And my plea is the same as God's. Don't awaken love before it's time. It's going to hurt you. I don't want you to be hurt, because the devastation it leaves behind is some pretty massive depression and despair, and along with a whole bunch of other things. And you're going to have to work through. Someday, you're going to be, 90, I think 95% of people get married, or 93 or some stat. I can't remember exactly. It's in the 90s. So more than likely, most of you or all of you will be married at some point. And so you need to be thinking about this. This is why we date with the future in mind, right? At some point, you're going to be dating someone you're going to be marrying. And what do you want to bring into that relationship? You got to be thinking about that. So if you don't think this is applying to you, please wake up. It does. And you're not ready to date. All right, number four. If you think you're too young to think about a possible future with someone, then you're too young to date. And I've had this going like, well, this is stupid. I've had someone actually come into my office. Actually, this isn't just one person. Again, this is multiple people. I've come into my office and gone like, what are you talking about? Like, I think it's stupid to be thinking of a future or marrying somebody at my age. I'm like, yes, that's my point. That's why you shouldn't date. What are you doing? Like, what is the purpose? What are you trying to gain from dating somebody that isn't selfish and self-motivated? Nothing. Again, the lie is that you're practicing somehow, right? Because Satan wants to destroy you, remember? Okay, so if you think you're too young to talk about a possible future, you are just not ready to date. Dating without a future is not what God intends for us because he wants what's best for us. Dating without a future is selfish and is only looking to fulfill your selfish desires. The final result of selfishness is not beneficial to you or anyone else and will lead you into all sorts of potentially devastating dangers. Right? Again, this is the baggage that you carry. And you're fairly young. I know if you've been dating already, it's not too late to stop and go like, you know what? I am not ready to date. And I don't need to have these people in my life. I need to get things right with God because I don't want to carry this stuff into the relationship that I'm going to have for the rest of my life. Right? And finally, if you don't care about honoring God, it's not that you're not ready. It's just my please don't date because you're going to hurt somebody. And I care about people and people matter and God cares about people. And at some point, you got to stand before God and give him an answer. And so if you don't care about honoring God, please don't date. Especially if you're a boy. Sorry, there it is. My double standard. Okay. Please do not date. These, you know, girls are already struggle so much with their value. And, you know, I've actually been thinking about this a lot. I don't have time to talk about it today. About how our culture just accepts the devaluing of each other. But if you're not interested in honoring God, please don't date anyone. I have to deal with enough of these kids. It's not just about me dealing with people. It's about them being hurt. And the hurt is deep. The pain is deep. Okay, so there is our dating talk. So, and here's the deal. I mean, those are just five things. Part of it is you'll know, like that's part of the test, but you'll know. And there's stuff that we talked about early about the right person. What this person does to you drives you towards Jesus, doesn't drive you away. There's lots of these little indicators that help you to realize, okay, I'm ready. And the biggest one you need to understand is the future thing. That has to be part of this deal. When you're ready, it's when you're ready to think about having a future with somebody. All right, so I said this was 55 minutes. That was an hour and 5 minutes. That's a long talk, hey? You guys are like, oh, what just happened? Okay, so, but that's the dating talk. We do this once every 2 years. And then you know what? I just remembered it is an hour and 5 minutes every single time, isn't it? I've said this every time I start. It is 1 hour and 5 minutes. It always is, and exactly this time too. All right, so I want to pray for you guys. So our small groups, let's just do one thing. There's a few questions there, but let's just do one thing. Let's fill out. So, because I don't want to keep everybody really late, and we can do this in 20, 25 minutes. We can be out by 8:30 for parents. I just want you to take, there's sheets for everybody at the back. So instead of just the leaders taking a sheet, everyone grab a sheet. There's two columns. One is priorities. One is preferences. Spend a little time on each person on your own, just kind of filling it in, thinking about it, and then share it with the group. Okay? And the last thing I want you to do is go like, okay, are you willing for your group to help you become accountable, right? This is the accountable thing. So if you're falling for some girl and she does not fit your priorities, then you're giving the right to the leader and the other guys in your group to say, dude, wake up, right? Remember, this is your priorities. Don't do it. Don't compromise. Okay, same thing for the ladies, right? So that's the last question. If you're not, just say it. So what? I mean, you're not interested in people keeping you accountable, I feel sorry for you, but it's up to you. I'm not going to force that on you. And you won't accept it anyway. So, but I would say, use the opportunity. Okay, so that's all we'll do for our small groups, and I'm pretty sure we can do that in 20, 25 minutes. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I just love these students. I know you love them just like way more than me. My love for them is just like nothing. It's like a drop in an ocean, and your love is the ocean for these kids, and you just love them so much. And I think this is why we do this talk, and this is why I feel like I need to do this talk and this series, is because you love our students so much, and you want them to flourish. You want them to live in your design. And so, Lord, I pray that whatever needs to stick out for these kids from this talk would stick in their hearts, that they would remember those things and not let them dissipate. And Lord, I pray for each one of these students that you'd bring a godly person along at the right time, and that they would be able to have a marriage that honors you, a relationship, a dating relationship that honors you, leading to a marriage that honors you, leading to a life that honors you and puts you first. I pray that for each and every student here, and the ones that didn't even want to hear the talk, pray for them too, that you would do that for them too. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.